Welcome dear listeners to the episodes of Mahabharata. In the previous episode, we heard about inconsolable Duryodhana. Now we are seeing Duryodhana perform sacrifice. Duryodhana and Karna met again and discussed for a long time their next plan of action. Duryodhana said, "Ever since I witnessed the Rajasuya Yaga performed by Yudhishthira, I have a great desire to perform that sacrifice." Karna replied, "Why should you not, now that all the chief monarchs of the earth have been brought under your suzerainty? You may now summon the Brahmanas and make preparation for the sacrifice." The Brahmanas were then summoned, but they said, "You cannot perform the Rajasuya as long as Yudhishthira and Dhritarashtra are alive. Instead, you can perform the sacrifice called Vaishnava. It is equal to Rajasuya in merit." He accepted their advice and prepared himself to perform the great sacrifice. Artisans hammered out a golden plough. Messengers were sent to invite all the kings. Dushasana sent a messenger to Dvaitavana. He said, "Go soon to the Dvaitavana and invite all the Brahmanas and also the wicked Pandavas." Yudhishthira said to the messenger, "I am pleased to hear that Duryodhana is performing a great sacrifice, but we cannot enter the city until 13 years are over." But Bhima added, "Go and tell Duryodhana that after 13 years, we will enter the city and perform a sacrifice in which Duryodhana and his counselors will be the sacrificial animals." The messenger went back and reported to Duryodhana all the happenings at Dvaitavana. The sacrifice was performed by Duryodhana with great pomp and splendor. Many kings who attended it were either the friends of the Kauravas or had been conquered by Karna in his campaign. There was great joy. Lavish presents were given to everyone. But when the ceremony was over, the citizens began to talk among themselves that Duryodhana's sacrifice had not come up even to a 16th part of Yudhishthira's Rajasuya in magnificence. The sycophants, on the other hand, praised him and compared his sacrifice to that of Yayati, Bharata, etc. When it was all over, Duryodhana embraced Karna and said, "Karna, because of you, I have succeeded in performing this great sacrifice. It is only with your help that I shall be able to kill the Pandavas and rule this world without fear of any rivalry." Karna replied, "I shall not wash my feet or take meat or wine, nor will I refuse the prayer of anyone who asks me for anything till I kill Arjuna." The Kauravas were delighted to hear this vow and shouted in joy as if the Pandavas had already been killed. The news reached the Pandavas. Yudhishthira became worried, for he had a great opinion of Karna's strength. One day, when Yudhishthira was sleeping at night, he had a dream. He dreamt that a deer in the forest came to him and appealed piteously not to destroy its clan altogether, but to move on to some other forest with his brothers. Deeply moved, he proceeded to Kamyaka forest with his brothers. Duryodhana got the report that the Pandavas were very happy in the forest. His heart burnt with jealousy. Again, he started planning with Karna and Dushasana some way of harming the Pandavas. Krishna protects his devotees. One day, sage Durvasa visited Duryodhana with 10,000 disciples. Duryodhana welcomed him with great humility. He personally waited upon him and served him. Fearing the curse of Durvasa, Duryodhana served him diligently day and night. Sometimes Durvasa would suddenly say, "I am hungry, give me food without delay." And then he would go to bathe and return after a long time and say, "I shall not eat anything today." After having spoken thus, he would disappear. Sometimes he would get up at midnight and, having ordered his food to be prepared, he would not eat at all. All the same, Duryodhana was not annoyed at all by the whims and caprices of the sage. He was pleased with Duryodhana and said, "You may ask me for any boon you like." Duryodhana had already thought of the boon to be asked. So he humbly said, "Yudhishthira is my eldest brother. He is now in the forest along with his brothers. Be his guest, even as you have been mine along with your disciples." He suggested for the visit a time when he knew that all the food prepared would have been eaten and nothing would be available for the unexpected guests. Duryodhana thought that the Pandavas, who themselves lived from hand to mouth in the forest, would not be able to feed and entertain the sage and his huge retinue. Then Durvasa, known for his quick temper, would curse the Pandavas. Thus, he thought, his long-cherished desire of destroying the Pandavas would easily be fulfilled. Durvasa went with his disciples to the Pandavas as suggested by Duryodhana. At that time, the Pandavas were resting after their midday meal. They welcomed the sage, saluted him and honored him. Yudhishthira said, "Sir, please return to us after you have bathed and chanted your prayers." While the ascetics bathed in the river, Draupadi was panicky because she had no food to offer. In her distress, she prayed to Krishna, "O Lord, you are the savior of all. You are the refuge of the helpless. I take refuge in you. Kindly protect me." Thereupon, Sri Krishna appeared before her and said, "I am extremely hungry. Bring me something to eat and then we shall speak of other things." Draupadi felt confused and said, "The vessel, Akshaya Patra, given by the sun god remains full till I take my meal. I have already taken my food and the vessel is now empty." Krishna said, "This is not the time for jokes. Fetch the vessel and let me see for myself." Accordingly, Draupadi brought it to him. Krishna saw a tiny particle of a green sticking to a corner of the vessel. He took it, put it in his mouth and said, "May the Lord Hari, the soul of the universe, be pleased with this, and may God, who partakes of the sacrifices, be satiated with it." Then Krishna asked Sahadeva to invite the ascetics for food. Sahadeva immediately went to the river and found the ascetics rubbing their stomachs gently and telling one another that their stomachs were mysteriously full. They came out of the river and said to Durvasa, "We ordered the dinner to be prepared, but now we are full. What shall we do?" Durvasa said, "We have done a great wrong to Yudhishthira. He is a virtuous man. His anger may burn us down. So let us leave the place quickly." So saying, the rishis marched out speedily. Sahadeva reported the matter to Yudhishthira, Draupadi, Krishna and others. Yudhishthira was worried that the sages might return at midnight and demand food. Krishna said, "O Yudhishthira, Draupadi's prayers brought me here. I rushed here only to help you all out of your difficult situation. By this time, Durvasa and other ascetics would have fled away. They will never return to you. The virtuous will never suffer." Having spoken these words, he took leave of the Pandavas and left for his abode. Jayadratha punished. So the days passed, each season bringing new experiences. All the five brothers had gone out for hunting one day. Jayadratha, the king of Sindhu, happened to pass the ashrama. He saw Draupadi standing in the doorway of the ashrama. Jayadratha was attracted by the beauty of Draupadi. He spoke to his friend, "Kotika, go and inquire who she is, from where she has come and why she has come to this forest. Will she be willing to accept me as her lord?" The friend did as he was told. He returned to Jayadratha and said, "I am very sorry for you, my friend. She is the wife of the powerful Pandavas. you will be wise to abandon all hopes about her and go your way. Jayadratha would not listen to the advice of his friend, and like wolves slinking into a cave, he and six others entered the ashrama. After the formal enquiries, he spoke his mind. He told Draupadi how he was smitten with love for her and asked her to go with him, giving up those useless husbands. Her face was red with anger. She said, "You are like a crab giving birth to her own destruction. My husbands will kill you." Jayadratha said, "I am not afraid of the Pandavas." "Birds won't help you, Draupadi. Come with me. Don't make me carry you away forcibly." Seeing him about to lay her hands on her, she shouted for Dhaumya. But he seized her and put her in the chariot. By then Dhaumya came out and said, "You have no right to take her away without fighting with her husbands. You shall reap the fruit of your action when the Pandavas come to know of your mean act." But Jayadratha did not heed the warning words of Dhaumya. He carried Draupadi away. On their return to the ashrama, the Pandavas heard from Draupadi's maid what had happened. All five of them went in pursuit of Jayadratha. On the way, they saw Dhaumya, who was helplessly following Jayadratha. Wildly enraged, the Pandavas attacked Jayadratha and his force, darkening the sky with their arrows. Jayadratha, scared of death, jumped out of his chariot and fled. Bhima said to Yudhishthira, O King, you please go back to the hermitage taking Draupadi with you. I shall pursue Jayadratha even if he hides in the netherworlds." Yudhishthira said, "O Bhima, remember that after all Jayadratha is our relative." Bhima and Arjuna pursued Jayadratha, and Arjuna shot down his horses, though they were 2 miles ahead of the Pandavas. They shouted, "Turn around, brave king, abductor of women." But Jayadratha did not look back even once. Bhima jumped down from his chariot, ran after him and seized him by his hair. Jayadratha fell down unconscious. With great difficulty, Arjuna dragged the prostrate form of Jayadratha. But Bhima kicked him on his head and sat on his chest, hitting him hard with his fists till he lost consciousness again. Arjuna prevented the wrathful Bhima from killing Jayadratha, reminding him of Yudhishthira's words, "This wild and foolish man does not deserve to live." "But what can I do? Our brother is always merciful," said Bhima. Then he took an arrow and shaved off the hair of the king's head, leaving 5 tufts at 5 places. Then he said to Jayadratha, "If you wish to live, go to public meetings and open courts and say, 'I am the slave of Pandavas.'" Since he loved his life, Jayadratha agreed. Bhima and Arjuna bound him hand and foot, pushed him onto the chariot, drove back to the ashrama and brought him before Yudhishthira. Bhima said to the king, "Tell Draupadi that this wild man has become the slave of the Pandavas." Both Yudhishthira and Draupadi advised Bhima to let him go. Jayadratha silently went to the banks of Ganga, and there he practiced severe penance, invoking Lord Shiva. Being pleased with his penance, Shiva appeared and asked him what boon he wanted. Jayadratha prayed, "May I be able to vanquish in battle all the 5 Pandavas. But Lord Shiva said, "Impossible. There is no man on earth who can do this. But I give you this boon. Only once you will be able to defeat all the Pandavas except Arjuna." Then Shiva disappeared. Jayadratha returned to his kingdom, and the Pandavas continued to live in the forest of Kamyaka. A few days later, sage Markandeya came to the Kamyaka forest to meet the Pandavas. He comforted the deeply anguished Yudhishthira with several moral stories and words of advice. He said that he was not the only king who had known misfortune. Sri Rama and Savitri also suffered much. Savitri had outwitted the god of death by her clever talk and by her devotion to her husband. thus instructed and consoled in several ways by Markandeya, Yudhishthira continued his stay in the Kamyaka forest with his brothers and Draupadi.